Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. My name is Staff Sergeant Samuel Kroll with the North Dakota National Guard's Public Affairs Office. I have a special guest with me, Chelsea. How are you doing, Chelsea?
I'm good. How are you?
It's a busy week. We're all feeling the stresses of everything that's going on this week. But the sun's shining. There's no fires in North Dakota with all the heat that we're getting. And it's a good day.
Yes, it is.
So talk a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from North Dakota. Sure. I grew up in a small town of Carrington and Devil's Lake. And I joined the military when I was 17.
Okay.
And just been doing the Army thing, I guess.
Love it. How long have you been doing the Army? Oh, well, 17.
17.
How many years of service do you have so far?
18.
Nice. Nice. I just hit the 10-year mark, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm halfway there.
Yeah.
Cue the music. Halfway there. Anyway. like we had said before, September is Suicide Awareness Month. It's a touchy subject for a lot of people, and that's totally okay. I think sometimes we get lost and are not okay with not being okay, if that makes any sense. And if you need the help, you need the help. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, or what does Suicide Awareness Month mean to you?
Yeah, so I am a suicide attempt survivor. So what it means to me is, I've always tried to avoid it because it's just one of those things that has been hard to, talk about or think about.
Yeah.
But of course, it's important to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's something I need to do more of.
Right.
But what it means to me is, honestly, it's just something painful, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and that's the thing is, in no way, shape, or form, mm-hmm. suicide or any of the tough topics that we mm-hmm. have to train on, whether it be suicide, resiliency, or even sharp, etc. Like, those are not nice topics. They're all ugly and they're hard to talk about. And you being on here and talking to us and letting us listen, first off, we just thank you so much. And this mm-hmm. is super courageous because we all know, Suicide Awareness Month is bringing light to a very dark situation for a lot of specific people. And at the end of the day, we just need to sit back and have that conversation. And again, like we talked about, it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll kind of kick off into this, and I'm glad you're on here. We were talking a little bit before we hit the record button, and funny how it is, we had professional development on Wednesday, and the topic was about suicide, and you had brought up some great topics that were talked about during that. What was some of the ones that you thought were the best?
One of the most interesting thing.
It's okay. It's okay. I tongue twist my little. It's all right.
I thought was the statistic about the most common age, which was I think middle age 50-year-old men.
Okay.
And so I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought it would have been more like in the 20s or something.
Right.
So it seems like, I don't know.
Yeah. I wonder how that. What do you think the cause of that is? Or did they talk a little bit anymore about that?
I don't know if they didn't really go into that. They just talked about, the statistics. But
sure.
And I don't want to speak for anybody everybody has their own battles.
Yes.
But a lot of times it has to do with, I would say, relationships or mm-hmm. They did talk about like divorces
yeah.
or, just stuff like that. So in my opinion, I think... it comes to like relationships for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think that was like the highest one was like relationships was like the leading cause. They said something like over 50%. I don't want to quote any of their statistics
because
I don't remember, but it was like arguments, like how long after an argument did you commit suicide or did somebody commit suicide? And it was like, like right after one or within a day after. Oh my gosh. It's kind of interesting.
Well, I'm glad you brought up relationship spot because I think that's a huge part of of falling into that hole of becoming depressed and then suicidal. Could you talk maybe a little bit to how relationships affected you?
Yeah. So when I was, I mean, mine all started from like childhood. I had, there's just, it was just so many different things. It was, you know, whether it was bullying or just family life. Family life, I think, is probably the most important because I think if it's, if you're, you know, tight with your family at home and you have a good family life, I think you're pretty much set for outside. But I, like, again, I didn't have a good family life either. So I can't really speak on that. But, yeah, my mom struggled with a lot of things. My biological dad was never in the picture. And my little brother's dad adopted me. And so, like, one of the big first big things was he was diagnosed with cancer when I was in, I think, first grade. And he had a brain tumor that affected his personality. And so there was some, I feel like it was, you could feel the tension in the house between him and my mom. And then I felt like, and maybe this was just, maybe I could have been making all of this up, but I could definitely tell that there was a lot more love for my brother from him than from me. So that was like, that was a really big one. And then he passed away when I was in fourth grade. So there's that. And then after he had passed away, I would say my mom went kind of downhill. So it was a roller coaster after that with different things and just addictions that she had and just trouble with the law and stuff like that. And I want to honor my mom, you know, 100%. But she definitely had her own battle, and I don't want to speak on her half, but yeah, I would say those were like really significant things that had happened to me in my life as a kid that I think affected my choice later on.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting. I don't know if this is just a statistic. I'm getting tongue twisted as well. but, you know, what stems or how does, you know, how does suicide become a part of the picture for somebody? It usually stems from something.
Yeah.
Maybe not just that one thing, but a triage of continuous things. Like you said, the cancer diagnosis and then the drug addiction problem, et cetera. And those are all personal things that, you know, you're just trying to figure out. But as somebody on the sidelines that is a part of a family or in that group, right, it still affects you. And we sometimes, I think, forget and like to look at the massive scope of things, right? These are things that are affecting whatever. But we start to, I guess you could say, horse with blinders on, right? You only can see this, but it's really affecting everyone else.
Right.
And whether that be yourself, et cetera. So, so in regards to relationships, we had, you know, relationships are one part of the picture. How do you feel... I guess the one thing, I mean, one thing we could ask is, you know, with relationships, excuse me, there's a lot of, how do I say it, assumptions of people, the reason, like things that people, why do they become suicidal? Like there's a thousand other opinions, but it's never the person's opinion, whether that be, could you, I mean, I can name off a couple right now. It's like, oh, well, suicide is selfish, right? Which is not, like, get that out of the head. Or if I go to therapy to seek help, et cetera, I'm going to go to the hospital. Could you talk a little bit to that?
Yeah. So I think, one thing I hear a lot of people when they're talking about, you know, family members or friends that might be suicidal is that it's a selfish thing. They're so selfish. And when you're in that, as a person who is suicidal, when you're in that, I always call it a dark hole because you don't really know what's going on around you. You just, you're so, you're just so like down on yourself about everything. It's easier to dig down into the hole than, you know, come out into the light, crawl out of that hole. So, from my perspective, I guess I was never being selfish. Like I had wrote out a suicide note, and it was like multiple days of this. Like I was going to do it. I was going to do it. I was going to do it. And every time I wrote a letter, and now every time I keep that letter, mm-hmm. I have it, stashed away. And whenever I like were cleaning or moving, I run into it and I pull it out and I read it. And I'm like, I don't even recognize who that person is, but all I see in there is, I want this for my mom. I want this for my brother. I want this for these people, and my friends and stuff like that. And so I was always thinking about other people. And then for whatever reason, you think you're so much better off without, or everybody's going to be so much better off without you. Because you feel like you're like a nuisance to life and whatnot. And yeah. It's so untrue. It is so untrue.
Well, right. And that's the thing, you know, you from outside eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, well, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why mm-hmm. would they do that? And internally, the person is going through, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? I'm doing the right things. I'm doing the right things. Mm-hmm. But why do I feel like this?
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, with your notes, right, everything that you listed was or your mom or your mm-hmm. brothers or for other people, right? Yep. And like they don't see that, you see mm-mm. that. So making the generalization of like it's selfish is not on it. Well, it's just not honest and being fair to the person that's going through it, I don't think.
I think there's like when you're in the hole like that, when I say it's easier to dig down than to crawl out, mm-hmm. it's easier to keep being negative about yourself. So it's you can sit here and you can say, like today I could sit here and say all these negative things about myself, and tomorrow it's easier to say those negative things and more negative things. Pretty soon you're just thinking, why am I even here? Mm-hmm. And I think when you get to that point, you got to like recognize it and you got to start talking good things about yourself, because mm-hmm. like I said, it's easier just to dig that hole. And
yeah. Well, and on that side of things, right, you're saying all these things to yourself, and that we'll talk a little bit more about what are some of the things that, you know, got you out of it. Sure. What are the things that you started to say mm-hmm. to yourself to help you start, you know, getting out of the hole, mm-hmm. climbing the ladder out of it? If you kind of keep on that topic of assumptions, you know, so we're talking the selfish thing. That's not right. A lot of people think of other things too, like crying for attention,
mm-hmm.
or it's, you know, they're only thinking of themselves. We talked about that. And I think on the back end too, sometimes people are afraid to ask the question
mm-hmm.
of, are you suicidal?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I mean, you can kind of talk about that as well, but in my opinion, I think, you know, it's a hard question to ask. We just talked about that at the beginning. It's not a good topic. It's mm-hmm. a horrible, dirty, dark topic. And it's okay to ask that dirty, dark question of like, hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Are you suicidal? Right.
Yeah, I think that's a really tough one, because I don't want to speak on every person who is suicidal or right. has been suicidal, because everybody's so different. But I think if it was me in that case, if somebody came to me and was like, are you suicidal, I would have still denied it, but I also could have broke down and
sure.
somebody could have seen my pain. I don't really know mm-hmm. what I would have done, and of course nobody wants to think that their friends are suicidal either,
right.
And just another thing, I tried to show up and put a smile on my face every day.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want people to know that I was hurting. But if people had that idea that I was hurting, I think leading up to right before I did it, I think I would have probably broke down and just cried. And I don't know what I would have done. But, yeah.
Do you think that would have been, I mean, like you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could cause, I mean, asking that question could cause a lot of different answers from a lot of different people, whether that be a trigger,
mm-hmm.
or, like you said, breaking down. You just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a hard question. I don't believe that. I think you should still ask the question. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been beneficial for myself. I don't know if it would have changed anything, but I do think it would have at least got me talking.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think that's really important. So you can actually, you might, if you have willing people that can recognize that. I can usually recognize it in people now. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had to help a couple people with suicide. So I'm pretty good at, like seeing it. But
sure.
It's not really for everybody, but I don't, that's a tough question to answer,
I mean, and I think that's the whole point of having this episode, mm-hmm. Is that none of these questions are the easiest, and they're so different for so many things.
I do want to say that I don't think asking the question is going to push somebody to do it. I think that is false. I don't think it's I don't think somebody asking is going to make them.
Yeah, carry out the act. Yeah. Yep.
So I think it's important if you have somebody that you think is, I think ask the question. If they deny it and something still seems off, just keep checking it in on them. Like, that's the biggest thing. Get them out of the house. Connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and that's, and now we can kind of move on, right? Mm-hmm. So in that case, we started at this whole of why and kind of the undertones and feelings that you have when you're, are feeling suicidal, and then how are some ways, or what are some of the assumptions that happen, and what's the best way to move on with it? So we had talked a little bit about the negatively things you mm-hmm. said. What were some of the positive things you started to say to yourself, and what are some of the things that you did to help get you past that breaking point?
Yeah, so I want to make one thing known too, is that when somebody's suicidal, and again, I guess I don't want to speak for everybody, but for myself, in my opinion, I don't think anybody really wants to die. I think they're trying to mm-hmm. get rid of the pain. Mm-hmm. So, one of the first things that I decided to do afterwards, is I'm like, I have to try. If I can't make this happen, or if I can't just make it disappear, make myself disappear, then I have to at least try in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the first thing, is acknowledging that I have to try.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was seeing a counselor. I found a counselor that was just, I had seen her before for, other things, with my actually relationship stuff. So it was like relationship with my mom was a big issue for me. So that's why I was seeing a therapist in the first place. My mom and I just bump heads so bad and I didn't know what to do with some of those things. But, I think that, just saying positive things to yourself, and none of it is going to work overnight. Mm-hmm. You have to keep at it every single day. It's like, if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to be better at sports, you have to keep doing it. You have to keep practicing. So another thing was I started going to church, and I started seeking a bigger God, and that was a huge one with just self-worth. Mm. I would find myself going down in that hole, and I was able to recognize it. Like, I still do this to this day. If I recognize that I'm being too negative about something, or I'm just miserable, like say I was miserable going to work every day or something, I would make it a point every day to like write 3 positive quotes. It doesn't have to be about work, just for the day.
Yeah.
And then 3 verses out of the Bible. That's what worked for me. It doesn't have to be work for everybody. And then I also like would acknowledge, like my negativity, and I would try to say something positive instead. So if I was like, oh, I don't want to go to work. And then I would change it and I would say, you know what? I'm grateful I get to go to work because some people don't get to.
Yeah.
And that kind of changed my whole world, is just looking at things in a perspective like that. Like, not everybody has this opportunity to have a job that we do in the military. And, you know, I don't know. That's, I feel like that's really the big things that worked for me.
Yeah. And like you said, starting off, right, recognizing you have a problem is the first step towards fixing a problem. And like with anything, yeah, you're going to have to work for it each day. You're going to have to say, do something, and progressing moves, you know. And you're going to have those days where you go back, but you got to figure out a way to counteract those random fires at yourself, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, that's awesome. Words of aspiration. And again, everyone's got a different way of coping things or moving things around. Church, religion, whether it be therapy, it might be a close friend. Or not, you know, et cetera. It could be a whole bunch of things.
Yes.
And it's all varying per people. But
If I found myself wanting to just sit at home, I would make it a point to try to reach out to friends to say, hey, let's get together. Or do you want to come over and hang out or something? Just when I would recognize that I was wanting to be by myself. I think too, like, drinking and obviously drugs would not be beneficial. Drinking, I don't even really drink anymore. And that I think helps so much. And then I think a lot of people start, Netflix binging things.
Oh yeah.
And they don't want to deal with anything, which we all like a good Netflix binge. But I think if you're doing something, or if you're going down into that hole, into that depression, I think that's like the last thing you should be doing. And you should get outside, you should walk, or you should, you know, just try to do something positive, create something. That was another thing I kind of went through, is I'm going to go find a project to do.
Yeah.
You know, and create something, because there's nothing more rewarding than making something and like, I just did that.
I just did that. What were some of the projects you had done?
I just made some like home decor.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I wish I was more motivated. I need to do that. Gosh.
You just got to do it. And I think that too. Some days like, I can't make that. But if you just go to the store and start buying things, and then you have it.
Yeah, well, you spent the money on it.
You might as well just put it together, right?
Exactly. It's like the you're your own creative, build it your Lego. Like, what can I buy to make this look cool?
Yeah.
You could do the Lego set, or you could do the research and make this cool other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
So, and, you know, at first, keep the projects simple.
Yeah.
Because if it's too complicated, you're just going to get mad and...
Yeah, you don't want to put up start building the Death Star or something right away. Like, start with a Lego character first, maybe. That might be a little too, or like too easy, but
yeah,
it could be a wall mirror, but that's great. Yeah, no, I mean, you start projects and you sit in Netflix binge and you're like, you know, potato on a couch, and you're just, and you're paying attention to the video, but at the same time, you're not as engaged as you would be if you're out with friends and stuff like that.
Or you can give yourself a rule like, okay, I'm not going to watch Netflix until I go for a 1 mile run or something.
Yeah.
Or set the goals. For a walk. You don't have to have big goals. You just have to have goals and you have to accomplish them. And I think that is so important. So I think the two biggest things are like your accomplishments that you can do, and just relationships. Having good relationships with all people. If you have a bad relationship with a parent, I think it's important to like go see a therapist for that, because that has made my life so much better. And actually, my mom and I have a better relationship than we ever have, because we've not had a good relationship at all.
Yeah. And just being open, you know.
Just, yeah.
It's amazing how much just opening up to other people will just help you.
Yeah, even if you don't feel like you need it, just go in there and talk. That's what they get paid to do, is just get paid to listen to you. So
yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And, you know, when you're with somebody in a relationship that maybe, you know, that's, it's either in a rough spot or whatever, mm-hmm. having somebody on the outside that has zero connection can kind of look inside and say, so this, but this, or you're doing this, she's doing this. Have you ever noticed that? And you're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't, you know.
One of the most important things that I took from going to see a therapist is I realized that I have an abandonment issue, which makes a lot of sense for a lot of things. Just with death in the family, mom not really being there, choosing to be with her friends rather than us kids. And it just went on throughout all of grade school, middle school, and even as an adult, I felt like she's chosen other things other than the us kids. So, but just finding out that that was my issue with a lot of things was very healing.
Yeah.
And so if you have issues with, if you're suicidal, I think it's really important to find out where this all stems, because it could stem from something from a child.
Yeah.
From when you were a kid or whatever.
Yep. So many different things. And like you said, abandonment, that being one of the main causes. Well, then you talk about the Netflix binge. Well, you're alone.
Yeah.
And if abandonment's your issue, you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
You want to be out with friends or going to the park or for a walk or whatever it may be. It could be going to volunteer somewhere if that's your jam. But, yeah, no, finding the root of the problem. And sometimes, you know, it gets more complex. It's not just, you alluded to it, right? It's not just the one thing.
Yeah.
It's the years of, oh, this is fine. But it really isn't fine.
Yeah.
And you're just letting it fester.
Yeah.
And then this, like you said, we'll just keep using the reference, the hole.
Yeah.
The hole just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And you're just like, what used to be the light that was this massive circle when you would look up is now the size of a pupil in your eye, you know, just super, super small.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, yeah, that's just, so, I mean, I love what we've talked about so far. I think we've talked about some great things. Is there anything more from that Wednesday thing or even from, or anything that you would like to specifically talk about on suicide?
You know, I think if I could talk to my younger self and tell myself anything, I would say just to love yourself. And you might not think you're worth loving, but you are. And there's no reason that anybody would ever want you gone. Like, just...
Yeah.
Just love yourself.
All right.
You have to love yourself before you can ever let anybody love you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's so important.
I love that you said that. Mm-hmm. That is something we forget so much.
Yeah.
And that's just not even, that's work too, right?
It is work.
Oh, I've got to do this report. Well, when do you end work? And is this report like, no, go home. Do what you got to do.
Go home. And
like, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah.
How many other things on the checklist did you get? I don't know about you, but this is one of the things that I do. I have a checklist on my desk, and each day I come in and I check it off, check it off, check it off. And if I can get two or three things off of that checklist, I've won.
Yeah.
Some days it's one, you know. It's, sometimes it's one thing, and it could have been a phone call, like, you know, or I set up a mic, or I help, whatever. But setting up a checklist, and then I got through what I could get through. That checklist is going to be there tomorrow. It's not going to, I mean, it might get a little bit bigger, but that's the reason why I have a checklist. You just keep working at it. But then taking that time off at the end of the day is like, nope, I'm gone. I am doing what I need to do. If I don't do it, I'm going to lose my crap. Right. And I'm going to be grumpy. And no one wants to be grumpy.
No.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And so now that you're at this point with being past the suicide attempt and you've found ways to work through this, etc., what are some of the things that just help you keep going? You know, what are some of those things?
Well, I have two young boys, a 6-month-old and a 3-year-old.
Love that.
So those two are, I just want to show them how to live a good life and to love themselves.
Yeah.
My husband, of course, is amazing. I just think my family, mm-hmm. it's my family that gets me through everything. I've come to the conclusion that I think sometimes we create our own stress.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to not allow ourselves to do that. So mm-hmm. recognizing that, okay, I'm making too big of a deal out of this, I think that's really important. So it's that. And then I'm definitely very, very into my faith. And mm-hmm. I think that is like the sole thing that helps me.
It's a rock.
It is the foundation of everything. So just try to be a good person. Even when people frustrate me,
oh, yeah.
I try to be very nice and appreciate them still. Because mm-hmm. honestly, this is another really big thing that I think is important that I had to say to myself a lot of times when I was going down to that hole. And it would be, I just appreciate this bad day. Because if I did not appreciate this bad day, or this horrible day, I would never appreciate the good days that I have.
So and true. That's yeah, so wise.
Yeah, it's just, you have to appreciate the people that are, like, mean.
Yeah.
You know? Because then, and, you know, you don't have to appreciate, I mean, you just, whatever. Just
100%
wish good things.
Yes.
Wish good things upon them. I usually pray for them and, you know,
do upon others as you would hope to do for themselves.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I'm glad you, because that is such a wise thing. It's just understanding that this day sucks.
And that's okay.
But it's okay.
It's okay. And today I might not like myself that much, but tomorrow I'm going to do better.
Yeah. Tomorrow I've got a 2-mile run.
And I'm not going to let myself go into that hole, even though I can see it right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not like, going in there.
Yep. It's, I had a friend told me, it's like, don't let it get, or, and you know, it's different for everyone, but sometimes when you get to that point where you're out of the hole, right. And you're mm-hmm. still, I mean, I'll be 100%. I don't know how you feel about this, but I don't feel like if you're a suicide victim or have ever dealt with depression, anxiety, etc., that stuff doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always there,
mm-hmm.
And it's your job, or not. Well, I mean, it is your job, but it's the at that point, it's how to move forward with life, knowing that that hole's right there.
Yeah.
And how can I, you know, look back at it, and you know, as dark as it was, appreciate what I mm-hmm. like. I had gotten out of that and not forget the past, but look at where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost one of the, and when you're at this point where you've crested, you know, the mountaintop and you see the long road ahead, and there's going to be some hills again and mm-hmm. there's going to be some other stuff. Sometimes you just want to kick its butt. Like, you're not going to beat me.
Yeah.
Or it's that competitive attitude of, I'm not going to be this anymore.
Right.
I am this, and that is it.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all right. But that's one thing that I've always kind of thought. And when you're talking about this, I just, that's exactly what I think.
Yeah.
Like, you see that, right? But you don't want, like, that's not going to tell you who you are, or that's not going to affect your life, and you're not going to do that again. And that's just super admirable. Mm-hmm. And for you to come on here and talk about it is just awesome. So, like,
I just hope I can help people. I've struggled with things for many years, even when I was in, you know, middle school and grade school even. It was crazy. And I know how tough it can be for kids and parents. Mm-hmm. And it's, life can be challenging and people can be really, really mean. And people will allow other people to let them identify who they are.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
No.
Just because that person doesn't like you doesn't mean that you're not a likable person.
Right.
It's just because they probably have issues too.
Yep. And they just want,
you know?
Yeah, and they're
or
trying
maybe
to,
they don't get enough love at home or something, you know?
Right,
like
so
you,
they're trying to get the attention.
You don't ever know what anybody's situation is, and I think that's so important too. That's another thing that I, when if somebody's trying to be mean or bully, is you just don't know what happened to them in their life to, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's a million things going on, and you can never just think that, okay, you show up to work.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to work.
Yeah.
Oh, she doesn't look too happy. What's going on? Like that sometimes, and I'm guilty of it. There's been times where I'm like, what's going on with that person? Or I'm just like, hey, why isn't this done? And then you just forget completely that other people have other things going on.
Yeah.
And that you just need to take a step back and just.
But that doesn't give an excuse either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can't just get your reports.
I'm having a bad day, so nobody can come talk to me.
Oh, all right. You know, it can't be an excuse.
I'm mean to everybody. But we get it sometimes. We snap and, you know.
Yeah, everyone's human. Mm-hmm. We're all human.
We are.
And that's the thing about, it's just accept the imperfection because it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that's it, you know. Life sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
And then I just I want to say another thing is, sure, if you are somebody who is in the hole, I don't always like using the word suicidal, but I say in the hole because nobody really wants to die. You can call that hotline and you're not going to get hospitalized, or you can call the hospital. You're not going to get hospitalized. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to judge you. And I will speak a little bit on the military too.
Mm-hmm.
I did end up having to deal with the military side of it too. And it was not bad at all. Like, nobody used it against me ever in my life. The people that were around me were very kind. The people that knew, they were very kind. And I think that's important if you're in the military and you're scared to bring it up to your leadership. You can bring it up to your leadership, and they will take care of you, and they'll get you to the right places. They'll get you the right resources that you need. So,
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's practically like a second family, right?
It is, yeah. Like, my military family, some people are more family than,
yeah,
you know.
It's 100%. I've said for years, mm-hmm, that the military family is my second family.
Yeah.
And you just don't know until you're in the military and
you
built it. Well, thank you so much. I'll let it open to you if you have anything last minute to say. But I think, I just can't thank you enough for coming on here, sharing a little bit about yourself. And I'm so happy that you're here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you matter so much. There's people in life that you just talk about all the time. And, you know, next thing you know, if they're gone, it's like, what? They were the light or what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Know that we're all happy you're here, mm-hmm, and we're so appreciative and honored to be able to share a little bit of your story here. But I'll open up the floor to you, Chelsea.
I don't think I have anything else.
Well, that's okay. It's all right. Again, thank you so much for being on. Enjoy the summer. Well, last little bit of summer as it is. But for anyone listening online, I'll just echo what Chelsea had said. If you need the help, get the help, whether that be friends, family, religious persons, religion in general, therapy, 988 Crisis Lifeline, or Suicide Hotline. Get the help. Don't wait. It will get better. Don't let the thoughts of this will never get better get to you. It will get better. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.